from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. A magnitude 4.4 earthquake struck a remote part of Glacier Bay National Park at 12:40 p.m. today. Anecdotal reports indicate no damage or injuries. The Alaska Earthquake Center puts the epicenter directly under the Riggs Glacier in the park, which flows to an area in the park that is accessible to permitted boaters, backcountry campers, and charter operators. As of 2:30 p.m., a National Park Service spokesperson said some visitors and park workers reported feeling the jolt, but it didn't have any other immediate news of impacts. 12 campers had permits to be in the area today. As the crow flies, the closest community is actually Clukwan, about 20 miles to the northeast. 14-year-old Elias Kelly was playing basketball at his home a bit further up the Haines Highway when the quake struck. At first, he thought it was a big truck going by. When things kept shaking and the noise kept going, he knew it was an earthquake. It didn't knock him off his feet. He says no one with him was injured and he hasn't noticed any damage. He thinks it lasted 15 to 20 seconds, followed by a second, longer one.
Wasn't super long, but 20 seconds can be a long time.
He went back to playing basketball after. In other news, Juno Italian restaurant in Boca al Lupo owners wanted a dinner party, but they also wanted to highlight women chefs of color, so they hosted Dinner with Friends, Women of Power Edition. KTUO's Lindsay Brolini took a look behind the scenes.
When doors to the downtown Juno restaurant open, a long line of well-dressed people stream in. It's clearly a fancy night out for most of the 40-ish people who packed into Mboko Alupo's dining room. And they're excited. Between the conversation and kitchen noise, it's pretty loud. Everyone is checked in at the front door by staff to make sure they're vaccinated. Back in the kitchen, music plays loudly through the kitchen speakers while chefs prepare their dishes of the night. They're chopping vegetables, drizzling sauces over samosas, adding vegetable toppings to pancit. It's going to be a long evening of cooking, and the chefs are laughing and in good spirits. Two chefs are Filipino, Ames Villanueva Alf and Rachel Barril, and two are Mexican, Claudette Zepeda and Amara Enciso. Each is making a dish that represents their culture, and they also made some surprising twists. In that noisy dining room, it got real quiet as people enjoyed the fusions. Villanueva Alf, Barril, and Enciso are all local chefs in Juno. Zepeda is from San Diego. Bo Schooler, co-owner of Mboka al Lupo, became friends with Zepeda through Instagram last year. When Schooler and Alicia Marriott started talking about bringing Zepeda up for the dinner, Marriott had the idea of centering women chefs of color in Juno.
White men in particular get a lot of support, you know, from big money and corporations and just like being elevated by accolades that I feel like have been centering white men for a long time.
So the evening was just as much about pushing back against race and gender barriers as it was about having a dinner party. It also gave the women involved some space to experiment.
There are other ways to just uplift and center and celebrate people of color, but women of color in particular in this situation without, you know, having to shout from the rooftops that they have Michelin stars or James Beard nominations or whatever.
I asked Rachel Barril if she thought the culinary industry is male-dominated. She says that 10 years ago, she would have said yes, but she thinks that's changing.
The kitchen, like, atmosphere has moved away from that, the very strict kind of, like, military-style, brigade-style, old-school French kind of hierarchy.
Barril works at Mboka al Lupo. She is a head chef at the restaurant, but she prefers going by cook. She says they don't like using hierarchical terms in their kitchen. And Barril says that industry shift has made kitchens more inclusive.
I haven't really experienced any, I was at a disadvantage because I was female, especially considering I dress very different for a female. I never really felt that. So if anything, Juno's pretty accepting, I think.
The dish Beryl prepared for the dinner was mushroom kare kare, a Filipino peanut stew. Beryl added her own twist and local ingredients to the dish. She used a peanut miso she made for the base, wild mushrooms, and beach greens collected locally.
But it was nice getting to do some creative stuff again. It was a relatively easy night. The food turned out pretty well. It seemed like the diners enjoyed the food.
And Beryl really enjoyed working with the other chefs, who are all people she is friends with and she admires. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
The recent uptick in coronavirus cases across the state has pushed Alaska's alert level up to moderate and Sitka's level up to high, but state officials are not yet calling the increase a trend, and it's still too early to know if any of the new cases involve the Delta variant of the virus. From Sitka, Robert Woolsey reports.
Like anyone else, doctors listen to the news. Alaska's chief medical officer, Dr. Ann Zink, says that recent news reports from Israel describing a high percentage of new infections among vaccinated individuals is not as sensational as it sounds. That's because Israel is doing an even better job at vaccinating residents than Alaska.
You can have a vaccine that's highly efficacious, 90, 95% efficacious, still have breakthrough. And when you have a highly vaccinated population, you would expect, somewhere around half of your cases to potentially be in vaccinated individuals, even though the vaccine is still, it's doing what it's supposed to be doing and doing a great job to minimizing cases, illnesses, and deaths.
And where the success of the vaccine is most readily apparent, says Zink, is on the back end. 97% of hospitalizations for COVID-19 and 99% of the deaths are among unvaccinated patients. Other recent news involves revised guidance from the World Health Organization, or WHO, regarding masking in public places, even for vaccinated individuals. The guidance came as the Delta variant emerged as the most prevalent strain of the coronavirus, yet the guidance conflicts with that of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, which this spring gave the go-ahead for vaccinated individuals to go unmasked in many circumstances. Zink says the WHO, the CDC, the state, and even municipalities like Sitka have different COVID rates and different resources and may set up their own guidance depending on some key variables.
The WHO is looking at a worldwide perspective about the number of cases as well as the amount of vaccine. And here in the United States, we're very blessed with abundant vaccine at this time. And as a result, the CDC has not made any changes to their guidance regarding masking in the light of the Delta variant that does look like it spreads more easily from person to person. And so continue to encourage people to do what they can to get vaccinated as quickly as possible, but then continuing to choose activities that are lower risk for transmission. So it's been great to see so many people outside recently with all of the sun, and that's a great place to be. And then knowing that masks work, and so that is an additional tool that people can use if needed to be able to protect themselves and others.
The Delta variant itself may be capturing the most attention. It has proven more communicable than the original form of the coronavirus and slightly more infectious for people who received their first dose of vaccine, but not their second. Dr. Louisa Casterdale manages the infectious disease program in Alaska's section of epidemiology. She won't know if Delta has spread beyond the Yukon-Kuskokwim region in Alaska until genetic sequencing on the latest cases is complete. Nevertheless, she views the Delta variant in the overall context of COVID.
Before Delta, we still had outbreaks and we still had, like, people getting sick in really high numbers. So I guess, I mean, we're very interested in Delta and the different features of transmissibility and potential severity and things like that. But I just don't want people to think that COVID wasn't a big deal prior to Delta. Like, it was. It was causing illness and it was causing transmission prior to sort of having mutations to Delta.
And despite the serious news from other parts of the world and the country, Casterdale isn't calling this latest flare in Alaska a trend. Because Alaska's numbers are low, they tend to be noisy, she says. 5 cases here, 10 there, might just be bumps in the road. She's cautious in her approach to the data.
I think at this point, we don't like seeing anything trending up, but I don't know that we would call it a trend at this point and would sort of hold on to see what the numbers kind of go from for here.
Like her colleague, Dr. Zink, Casterdale says Alaskans are definitely benefiting from reduced crowding in summertime and the ability to do outdoor activities, all of which will change when schools reopen and the weather worsens this fall. She recommends vaccination for everyone 12 and older as soon as possible. We are not out of the woods yet, she says. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And this is KTOO News.